Danish can you can read.
I won't ask Corey to read English.
English.
That would be offensive to ask you to speak English. But maybe when Adiguru comes back, he's sort of quite. No, he just walked right in here, Adiguru. You can. Well, you can also translate into French if we want, but you have to. Oh, you. All right, go ahead. A little introduction. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Dena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sugasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Just want to check that it's going. Last time I did this I forgot to press the button. Let's see if we get around to this. I was very intrigued by the theme, this year's theme, which had, I think, three parts, but basically it was about
Sangha Sadhana. Samraksha.
And the ideas of keeping it spiritual. Particularly for me, the sadhana part really resonates. And one reason is because I've had a dilemma since I joined the Krishna consciousness movement, and that I found one of the most difficult things to do in the Krishna consciousness movement was to be given the luxury of practicing Krishna consciousness. I mean, aside from the morning program. Of course, morning program is there, and that's the ideal basis and foundation, but I don't know what I was mentioning. Before I joined, I was reading 4, 6, 8 hours a day, Srila Prabhupada's books. At that time, we only had up to the first, third canto, part one. Those are the only books in print. And I was chanting, well, I thought I was chanting 16 rounds a day, but it turned out later I was chanting 32. Because I thought a round was, you go here and you come back around. Turned out, I couldn't figure out how these devotees were chanting so fast. But, and then when I joined, then all of a sudden it sort of stopped. In fact, it stopped the first day when I thought that we were, you know, after the morning program, you sit down and you read Prabhupada's books, and they told me, no, you go out and sell Prabhupada's books. And from there, I ended up in jail on the same day. I guess if I stayed there, I could have continued reading Prabhupada's books, but they let us out. And it's been, in one sense, for me, almost like treading water and trying to keep your head above the water. How in a spiritual organization which has such a extraordinary emphasis on missionary activity and living up to ideals and that Srila Prabhupada had set for us in terms of, well, on ideals on one side of being Krishna conscious, become a pure devotee, go back home, back to Godhead, and which this slide is about, and on the other side is establish the Krishna consciousness movement, spread the Krishna consciousness movement, give your whole life for it, become recognized by Krishna by preaching, being a preacher, and Srila Prabhupada's countless statements about the importance of getting results. He wanted a 30-story building. We're not going to have a 30-story temple. But certainly Srila Prabhupada will be overjoyed that finally, after this many years, all right, we finally got, we call it a Haveli, but technically it's the temple that Srila Prabhupada wanted. And that's a real victory. And Srila Prabhupada was an extremely result-oriented person. On the other hand, I was just listening, 1977, conversations. I'm going through on the fourth time now. And I was talking to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, because if not most of the conversation is with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who's now his personal secretary. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that, I don't know if I should edit this out, but they're saying it's not too good to over-endeavor for things that are difficult to achieve. We should do things that don't interfere with our spiritual practice, our sadhana. Now, I remember when Srila Prabhupada, this is going back a little, when Srila Prabhupada saw the, Prabhupada came to Toronto in 1975. And when he came to Toronto, devotees were telling him about this property that they'd seen, and that it's very expensive, it's $300,000 or $350,000, which at that time was a lot of money. Now it's not so much. And the temple president, Uttama Shloka, he was explaining to Srila Prabhupada that, oh Prabhupada, it's, we just figured it was really a over-endeavor, and it's we wouldn't know how to actually even keep up the bank payments and so on. And Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, it's, we shouldn't, devotees shouldn't over-endeavor. It's not conducive for your spiritual life. We shouldn't sacrifice our sadhana. Anyway, let me go see it. So they took Srila Prabhupada to see it, and wasn't far away. And they took it up to Avenue Road Church, and Prabhupada saw it, and he said, we have to get this building. And Uttama Shloka said, well, Prabhupada, you said that over-endeavoring wasn't going to be a good idea. That's true. But over-endeavoring for Krishna is another thing. And still they had some reservations, so Srila Prabhupada then said, all right, I will give you a loan from my personal account to get the place. Prabhupada very much wanted that place. It wasn't easy to get. It's really, really prime real estate right now. And it's almost equivalent to like Soho Street. And but much bigger. It's a church. So yes, Prabhupada said on once, well, don't over endeavor. Bhatra Vegamana Sukrota Vegam, and so on. It's not good to over endeavor. It goes on later in Upadeshamrita. And on the other side, seems like Krishna consciousness is a marathon. I mean, we have marathons, there's a marathon upon a marathon. And chanting 16 rounds, okay, well, that's the minimum. But how often do we have the luxury of upping it to 25 a day or 32 a day? Generally, we get talked out of it, that it's more important to do other things than take the extra time for that. And then, or just, yes, that we should study and read Srila Prabhupada's books, and like Prabhupada said, study the philosophy from different angles, a vision. You should memorize my books. You should memorize Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion is no small book. So you should memorize it. And itself, the subject matter, just the sambandha or the theory, is so technical. I mean, Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely technical. There are philosophical statements. After all, it's the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So it's like not kiddie stuff. Just to actually follow that, and then Abhideya. And then how do I put this to practice in my Krishna consciousness? In my chanting, in my reading, in my remembrance, in my other services, in my service activities, how does it relate to that? And simultaneously, we have this, which is part of this theme of this presentation, we have this extraordinary goal of going back home, back to Godhead. And we're not going to go to Well, Brahmajyoti we don't got to go back to because that's not Godhead. But even beyond that, we're not going to Vaikuntha. We're not shooting for Ayodhya. We're not going to Dwarka. We want to go to Braja. We would not even want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, and there are different parts of Goloka Vrindavan. Either we go to Braj or we go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's abode of Navadvip. Now it's called Svetadvip. Very, very exalted destination, exalted goal. And our a culture, or at least one that I also contribute to promoting, is that you're going to get there more or less by service. Distribute lots of books and do something significant for Prabhupada, build a Haveli, do something wonderful, and Krishna will notice you. But somehow or another, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, no one building temples over there, there's sadhakas. You've got the prachetas going, how many years are they underwater doing sadhana? Long time. You've got Lord Brahma for 1,000 years of the demigods doing austerities and doing this tapa. Everyone's doing devotional service and sadhana of some sorts. What to speak of outside Bhagavatam. Can we open, right down there, open the door a little. We've got the personified Vedas. Personified Vedas perform austerities to become gopis in Braj for 1,000 creations. This is not ordinary people. These are the Vedas. They're doing for creations. And we're shooting for that same very, very rarely known destination. That's how Brahma Samhita ends. That is known by very, very few people. What to speak of then even attained. How many people actually attain that destination? Now there was a time, I think it was, anyway, Guru Chandrapadma didn't move in Winnipeg Temple. But there was a certain phase in time in ISKCON, which was, I guess, 1974, 1975, when Srila Prabhupada said that our temples should be just like universities or schools, where devotees go from one class to the other, to the other, to the other. So I'm known to be extreme sometimes. And so that's what we had. We had, I'm just trying to remember how it went. We had Mangalartik. And then after Mangalartik, we were saying some prayers. Before deity greeting, there was Bhagavad Gita shloka memorization class. Then Kirtan, then we had Bhagavatam class. And after Bhagavatam class, we had some other reading. So there were three things. Then devotees went out, then we came back, and we had, before Gaur Aarti, we have Nectar of Devotion. After Gaur Aarti, we had Bhagavad Gita. And then at night, during Milk and Bananas, dare anyone say a word at the risk of their life, everyone had to listen to Krishna book. So, and that was going on for, well, until we moved from Winnipeg to Minneapolis, Chicago, actually. We moved to Chicago. So it was wonderful. And it was one class, another class. So we were having 6-7 classes a day. And devotees were going out on book distribution. The coldest I ever sent anyone out on book distribution was minus 70. That's cold. That was with the wind chill factor. It hit the front pages of the newspaper that day. I don't know who delivered it, but it was. That was the day that the snowdrift was so high that we had to actually shovel a tunnel out the front door of the temple to get out. It was snow. I only want to get snow if I drive up to Scotland right now and having snow. Anyway, that was the only experience I really had of And we had such a thing as an evening program. Prabhupada called it the ISKCON sandwich. And that was up until Srila Prabhupada's disappearance and maybe a year or two thereafter, I can remember. Once I came here, I don't remember evening programs taking place. We had them still going in Chicago, and then I went to Oklahoma, and it was just me and the rattlesnakes. But the farm. And big farm, Harmony, 1,500 acre farm. It's a beautiful place. But we used to have at least a Bhagavatam class and Bhagavad Gita class. And it was quite standard that in evenings we'd read Krishna book during prasadam, so the devotees would just listen to that. But that's waned. You know, we have Bhagavatam class and statistics. We did statistics. We didn't do statistics at the last ILS meeting. The devotees, I don't know if some of you are going to the ILS meeting that's taking place now. The last ILS meeting, there was statistics done of the leaders. Unfortunately, I don't have the exact numbers here. It's here in the computer, but I'm not going to go dig around, otherwise I'll lose this PowerPoint. Average devotional age of devotees, 19 years. Not that they were 19 years old, they were in the movement 19 years. How many times had they read Bhagavad Gita? I can't remember. It was 2 point something. How many times had they read the first canto? It was 1 point something. Second canto, it was less than once. Chaitanya Charitamrita, similarly less. In other words, these were the leaders. There was 1,000 devotees there. These were the leaders of the society. And that was the amount of knowledge, that was the amount of reading, we use the word reading, that was the amount of reading that they'd done of Srila Prabhupada's books. And it's different. It's different than, you know, Christians have this saying that you know the Bible like you know the back of your palm of your hand. I don't know, I don't go around looking at the palm of my hand, so I don't know where the analogy comes from. But said that Jiva Goswami also knew Srimad Bhagavatam, like you hold an amalaki fruit in your hand. So he had the Bhagavatam in his hand like that. Of course, we're not necessarily meant to be Jiva Goswamis, but still, what did Prabhupada stay up? What did Prabhupada get up for at midnight and translate till 6-7 o'clock in the morning? Is it that we sell books? He said no. Earlier on in San Francisco, there's this recording, and ultimately Srila Prabhupada is talking to this lady who's asking about the books. He says, to think that I'm simply producing these books in order to sell them is offensive. He says, I'm writing these books primarily for my disciples, for my followers. And Srila Prabhupada writes that at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that these books are mostly for his followers. And the quality time that Prabhupada put into it, and Srila Prabhupada said, I gave up sleeping just to write these books. So, this idea of keep it spiritual, but hopefully keeping it more spiritual, because how do we become spiritual? Do we do it by the minimum of 16 rounds, or we do a minimum, some devotees say I'm doing a minimum hour of reading. I'm not suggesting anything revolutionary, but it's my own personal experience, and it's something that I struggle with. Because I don't have as much time to study as I want to. My best studying times is when I'm writing, because then I have to study. But the study then is, studying is based on what I'm writing. And it's not necessarily, I've never done a systematic study of Srimad Bhagavatam. 18,000 verses, Prabhupada's purports, what to speak of now. We have Acharya's commentaries as well to go along with that, translated. So I've done systematic study of Gita because, after all, Gita's 700 verses, and it's something that it's one volume. But here's the whole Bhagavatam, systematic study of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nectar of devotion, yes, but it was a long time ago, and I have to admit that I've forgotten many things. So it's, for me, the luxury of sitting down, when I finally get the luxury of sitting down, I go through this psychotic state. Where do I start? What am I going to do? And if I start it, am I going to be able to finish it? All right, I'm heading off to Mayapur for a month, and I start studying the Bhagavatam for a month. I'm not going to get past the first canto. And then what happens? And I've started on the first canto so many times. So it's it's really quite a challenge, and yet at the same time, and I'm going to quote here from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and how long are we going? Because I could just sort of end with this, and you'll have had this thing dangling in front of you for a while, and we'll leave it till the next visit, because this takes a bit of time.
Another half an hour.
Another half an hour. Okay. Yeah, we could do it. We could do it quickly. Because the examples that I see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu aside, is that devotees go through extraordinary effort to become Krishna conscious. And interestingly enough, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a historical narration that does not include, it just indirectly mentions Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he does not play a role in it. Certainly, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda are very merciful. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can attain all perfection. Of course, the hitch is that you have to at least start chanting offenselessly, and ultimately we need to be able to chant with love. Jiva Dharma, another book I've read a couple of times, but Jiva Dharma, it's like, you know, a dentist's manual or something. You can't read it. It's so condensed knowledge. Everything that you need to know is actually in Jiva Dharma. Two very interesting things that I just recently came across. One, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes elsewhere, especially in Harinam Chintamani, he says that without chanting, without being firmly situated in Sambandhagyan, without knowing the real basic truths of Krishna consciousness, that one cannot chant the holy name offenselessly. Second thing, and this is a conversation that similarly takes place, the topic came up, well, isn't it enough? And these two points are connected. Isn't it enough just to actually try to chant Hare Krishna and try and chant it purely and with emotion? And the answer comes, no, that won't work. You need knowledge. As Krishna says in the Gita, Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Putramad Bhavam Agata. Those who have knowledge of me had attained love for me. So, for me, it's a very interesting dilemma, and I'm curious. I'm waiting to see what happens when my time's up. And will I have done enough? Maybe on one side on service. What is going to be the telling thing? If I go on the basis of sadhan practice, the amount of energy I put into self-purification, then if I have to be honest, I would have to say no. I would say that, you know, Bhava Bhakti is still a good distance away, and that's just like the bud of Prema Bhakti. So, what is it going to happen by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy? Well, if it's possible, I'll let you know. But everyone will certainly find out for themselves what actually will take place. This is going to be maybe somewhat of a quick sweep through a power presentation based on excerpts from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Who's read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Okay, a few devotees. It's an extraordinary book. It's really the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what it says, Bhagavatamrita. And it's, if you want to know what the Bhagavatam is about, this tells you what the Bhagavatam is about in explicit, clear, and very amrita, very nectarian way. So I'll start off with sadhana and sadhya, which is a very general principle. And these are principles that I'm asking now here my reader to read aloud, just so you're not listening to me all the time.
The practitioner?
No, there's Sanskrit here. This is the only place there's Sanskrit.
Siddhasya lakshanam yat syat, sadhanam sadhakasya tat. The practitioner and the means of practice should be in accord with their goal.
And the next one?
Swa sadhana nurupam hi phalam sarvatra siddhyati.
So, it's very important, and this is a theme that Sanatan Goswami emphasizes, and I should just mention the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Sanatana Goswami says is a book that was revealed to him. It's a historical narration that was revealed to him by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jaimini Rishi, a story of Gop Kumar. Well, it's two parts. One is of Narada Muni, and the other one is Gop Kumar. Narada Muni is looking for who are the greatest objects of Krishna's mercy, and it goes through many Vaishnavas, comes ultimately to the Brijvasis and the Gopis, and on the second part, it's what is the highest abode or the destination of those who have this extraordinary mercy of Krishna, which is the Brijvasis. So, starting with this other one, in all spheres of activity, because this doesn't just specifically relate to sadhana, in every activity, you're very clear about what your goal is. And according to your goal, you undertake a certain type of practice, certain type of education. You want to be an architect, then you don't go into, I don't know, nuclear physics. It's not required. Then you study architecture. You want to be a dentist, you go to dentist school. You don't go to doctor school. Or you don't go into... What's it called? Animal doctor is you don't go to veterinary. So your practice, your activity is always commensurate with your goal. And therefore we need to be very clear what our goal is. And Srila Prabhupada made it very clear. Back home, back to Godhead, and he made it clear what is our Godhead. Our Godhead is go back to Krishna in Vrindavan. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, and that's what prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna appeared for. He came to show the world what's going on in the topmost abode. In this first verse, it's very clear. Siddhasya. What is your siddha? What are the qualities of that siddha? What is the perfection you want to attain? Okay. Lakshanam yat sat. So there's qualities of that perfection, braja bhakti. Then you have to do a corresponding, the sadhaka has to do a corresponding sadhana. Your sadhana has to correspond to the goal that you do, and this is one of the main themes of this presentation. What is the sadhana that ultimately devotees need to do in order to go back to Godhead? Is it just chanting 16 rounds and following four regulative principles? Anyway, four regulative principles is no sadhana. They're not even spiritual activities. They're just moral conduct. And they're favorable conduct for spiritual life. So chanting 16 rounds. But there must be more, because otherwise Prabhupada didn't need to spend all his time writing all these books. He could have just gotten everyone to chant Hare Krishna. But still, Srila Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class. So the essence is chanting Hare Krishna, but there's some kind of dynamic chemistry that takes place between chanting Hare Krishna and the content of these books, a dynamic that matures, a dynamic that becomes more pointed, more directional as devotees progress in Krishna consciousness. Oops. Let's read here a little. I think I erased something. Go ahead.
Of the aspirants for liberation, hardly a few are transcendental, liberated souls. And of those exalted transcendentalists, only a few are dedicated to the devotional service of the Lord.
So different people have different types of sadhana. And then?
And even among the Lord's devotees, those eager to give their hearts in exclusive friendship to the lotus feet of Madan Gopal are by far the most rare, without a doubt.
No, this is fine. We're on target. So here, just please note that there are different types of aspirants. They're doing different types of activity. Some want liberation, some actually achieve liberation. A few are engaged in devotional service. Amongst those who are engaged, some become very intimate associates of the Lord.
Among the Supreme Lord's devotees, some are devotees attached to knowledge, and others are pure. Still, others are situated in love of God. Others are immersed in love of God, and yet others are painfully overwhelmed by love of God.
Different attainments. Here there's five is being listed. This is called, some are devotees attached to knowledge. This is not attached to mental speculation. This is called the Gyana Mishra Bhakta. In other words, devotees who are more attached to the process of bhakti and the knowledge of bhakti than they are to Krishna. Because devotional service is a very fascinating thing and a wonderful thing. And they're more interested in the cultivation of devotion than in devotion itself. Now these are all already perfected devotees, but different types of perfected devotees. And the point here is to show that even when you say back to Godhead, there's different types of back to Godhead. Some are pure devotees. An example of this is Bharat Maharaj. Pure devotees, those who are actually, well, the example is Ambarish Maharaj. So, Savaimana Krishna Padaravinda. Still others are situated in love of God. And Hanumanji is the example of that. These are the Premi Bhaktas. These are the Prema Atura Bhaktas who are immersed in love of God, like the Pandavas, and Prema Para Bhakta, overwhelmed. And the example of that is Uddhava. They're all perfect. There's different stages of perfection. But according to your destination, Siddhasya Lakshanam Tatsat, then sadhaka has to do a corresponding sadhana. Here's a little more in a similar line.
The disciplines by which devotees in practice can reach Sri Golok, those very same disciplines, let them see the Lord performing pastimes like those of Golok, completely satisfied in Vrajbhumi in the mortal world.
I don't know, I had difficulty with this English. Complained to the one of the editors, but he said, no, it's perfectly clear. Anyway, the sadhana by which we attain Goloka is the same sadhana by which you see Krishna exhibiting his pastimes here in the material world. Why completely satisfied? And the commentary.
On this path, not everyone attains the same level of success. A devotee may develop Krishna consciousness to the point of being able to see Krishna, but may not be able to see him busily enjoying the special pastimes of Vrindavan with his intimate devotees. When more advanced, a Vaishnava may occasionally see Krishna engaging in his Vrindavan pastimes, but not displaying the full scope of his blissful enjoyment. And even such a Vaishnava may not be fortunate enough to enter Krishna's eternal pastimes and play with Krishna in absolute freedom. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is rarely achieved.
Now, these are all in the spiritual world. There are different grades. It's not that in the spiritual world everyone has attained the same degree of perfection. In this spiritual world means in Braj. So in Vrindavan, there are devotees who are able to see Krishna's pastimes, but they can't see special pastimes, say like Rasa Leela. They're not able to see that. And they can only see. And then, when they become a little more advanced, then they occasionally see those pastimes, but they can't see all of the pastimes. In other words, they can't participate in all the pastimes. And then, some even more advanced, then he can see all of the pastimes, but he doesn't have full access to them. And the most advanced devotees are actually directly participating. So different levels of perfection. Siddhasya lakshanam, what's your goal? And you have to be clear of a goal. So when we say going back to God, it's a very general statement. And as devotees progress in Krishna consciousness, then their vision of where they're going should become more pointed and should become more clear, because just like you say, well, we're all Nitya Krishna Das, everyone's Krishna's servant. But we know that that's very general, because there's technically five different types of servants. And even amongst those, there are different divisions. So ultimately, as devotees hear about Krishna and chant about Krishna, particularly as they hear and they study these books, they develop an attachment to a certain type of service, or something becomes more prominent than other, and that natural attachment that, yes, this is my goal. So goals should become from general to becoming more and more specific. And I use this word sankalpa. Sankalpa means, it means a vow, but it's also a clear determination. This, when you perform a yajna, you do a yajna for a particular purpose. You take a vow for that. Similarly, when we're performing the sankirtan yajna, when we're doing, performing Krishna consciousness, our devotional activity, our bhakti, eventually becomes directed by a particular destination. And now, what am I going to do to get to that particular destination? Go ahead.
My dear boy, whatever you desire while chanting your mantra, by its power, you will fully achieve. Indeed, you will attain more than you desire.
So here, this is Gop Guru's, but Gop Kumar's spiritual master speaking. And he says, Tat sankalpa bovatsa nija mantra samihitam. He says, whatever your sankalpa it is, whatever you desire by chanting your mantra, that you will attain. That mantra is like a chintamani gem. It's like a kalpa briksha. The Hare Krishna mantra will give whatever you want. Now, Gop Kumar is not chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. He's chanting the Gopal mantra, or actually a different version of the Gopal mantra that our initiated Brahmins chant. And he chants that mantra, and he has a spiritual aspiration, but there are many times that he has material desire. I want to go to the heavenly planets. So the mantra takes him to heavenly planets. I want to go to Tapaloka. I want to go to Brahmaloka. And the mantra continues to take him. So the Maha Mantra will fulfill our desires, what to speak of the other Namatmaka mantras that we chant, the other Gayatri mantras that we chant. And one has to be very careful to keep aside. That's why the 10 offenses is that namnada shahi bahapa budhir, that you maintain material attachment while chanting. Not only is it offensive, but if material desire is within the mind while chanting, and that becomes our sankalpa, that's what is going to become manifest. The mantra will give it. So he says, whatever you desire while chanting, your mantra by its power will fully achieve. Indeed, you'll even get more than what you want. especially material things. Because if you're chanting to get Krishna, that's a real high aspiration and very difficult to achieve. If you want some kind of easier goal, all right, Krishna will easier, quickly give that. And there are many statements in Shastra that say that. And the next verse is,
because you are very dear to me, I have now given you everything I possess. By the power of this mantra, you will understand and attain everything on your own.
So this is the power of our sadhana. By chanting Hare Krishna, our sadhana, we will attain everything. But at the same time, when you see this verse here, it's not isolated. You can see 2, 3, 6. It's in the second volume, third chapter. It's part of the whole adventure of Gop Kumar, and Gop Kumar is taking a long, long time to get where he's going to get. It goes beyond days of Brahma. He's in Vaikuntha, so you can't even figure out how much time is going on here in the material world before he actually attains his destination. So yes, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, and only by chanting Hare Krishna, you can attain all perfection. But go back to Godhead in this one lifetime, it may take a little more exertion than that. And the perfection, sadhya, is not an easy one.
My dear boy, how is it that you are so eager to take shelter of the lotus feet of this Gopaldev and see all those sweet pastimes?
Sanatana's commentary.
Narad's mind is perplexed by the thought that this simple boy, Gopakumar, is intent on gaining the realization most rarely achieved.
So Gopakumar has this spontaneous attachment to chanting his mantra. When he starts off, he hasn't the faintest idea what he's doing. He doesn't know how to chant. He doesn't know who the deity of the mantra is. He doesn't know who this Gopal is. He knows from his guru, this is the Lord of the universe. Now what he looks like and what he does, he has no knowledge. He doesn't know anything about higher planets. He doesn't know about the process of devotional service. He just chants because his guru asked him to chant. And he has respect and love for his guru, and therefore he does it. But as it turns out later on, it won't be enough. It's just not enough. That type of chanting gets him as far as the realm of liberation, and from there, the Vaikuntha Judas send him back. He says, this type of chanting without proper knowledge, without the proper sentiment, will not get you to Vaikuntha. But he has this attachment, and Narada Muni is amazed. This is already taking place in Dwarka in the spiritual world. So he's gone through from Vaikuntha to Ayodhya to Dwarka, and he's in Dwarka. He's with Narada Muni and with Uddhava, and they're giving him incredible instruction and shiksha. And Narada Muni, whose swarup nature, he's a devotee of Lord Narayan. And he's just amazed how this boy, no matter where he is in the spiritual world, he's never satisfied. Everyone else is satisfied, and he just can't be satisfied. Even though when he's with Lord Ramachandra or Lord Narayan or Krishna in Dwarka, he feels overwhelmed and great ecstasy. But ultimately, his heart is never satisfied because even that perfection doesn't match his sankalpa. It doesn't match his desire and, of course, his constitutional position. And then,
dear brother,
and then there's this, for me, very extraordinary statement. Go ahead.
Dear brother, you must understand that to attain him is exceedingly difficult, especially because of the devotional discipline required of this, I am fully convinced.
So in one sense we say it's very easy, although Srila Prabhupada indicated that, well, maybe it wasn't so easy as he led us to believe. But here Narada Muni says that the destination is very easy, The attainment, excuse me, is very difficult, and the discipline or the sadhana required is also very difficult. And then there's this far-out commentary by Sanatan.
Gopal Kumar may argue that with Narad's blessings, nothing is impossible. But Narad warns, so difficult is the goal that even Narad's mercy will not be of much help. Thus, Narad hopes to increase Gopal's eagerness to reach Goloka.
It's a very interesting meditation that what is there, and Narada Muni, I mean, we hear of him in the Bhagavatam almost more than of Krishna. He's everywhere. He's involved in everything practically, and all the leelas, he comes out. And from first canto all the way up until at least 10th canto, Narada Muni's there. And here he says, but even Narada Muni's blessings will be of little, of much help, will not be of much help, because Narada Muni's blessings are effective to his own spiritual stature, and over beyond that, although he's the acharya of all spiritual truths, and although he knows about the extraordinary activities that transpire in Goloka, but nonetheless, his position is that he's looking up. And in other places, say, even he and Uddhava, who in one sense is even more elevated than Narad in terms of the experience of Braj Bhakti, but still, for them, it's just an aspiration. And they're never going to attain it because it's not their swarup.
On my own behalf and that of Uddhava, I testify you that from here, that abode of the Lord is in fact most difficult to achieve. And so too is a discipline that leads to it. Of course, your ultimate goal is pure love for the lotus feet of Krishna, the divine gopi's life and soul, love that follows the mood of the Lord's own Vrajbhumi. You seek no other goal than that.
So, and the point of this presentation is not to scare everyone off, but it's to actually clarify the fact that it's not all one, it's not all happening just by minimal effort, and that we really need to be clear about what it is that we're doing, where it is that we're going, and make sure that what we're doing corresponds to where we want to go. Because yatraya lakshanam proktam, your siddha and your sadhana of the sadhaka have to correspond. You can't go to dentist school and all of a sudden think that you become an engineer. It doesn't work. So neither is it just enough to go to high school, which is very general. At a certain point in university, education becomes more and more specialized according to the direction. So there's grade school and there's high school. Is that what you call it in England? High school?
Secondary
school. The secondary schools, and then there's college. But as the education increases, so does your direction become more and more pointed as to where you're going, and it becomes more and more specialized. There's common education that's relevant to everyone. Everyone's got to learn how to read and write and know history and geography and other things like that. But then ultimately, all right, what do you want to do? At a certain point, either in secondary school, well, in secondary school, you have to decide, when I graduate, where am I going? I'm going into arts, into sciences, into this, into that. And I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop, and I'll just read this part. That is that, yeah, it's possible. Krishna's mercy is there. It is attainable. But we have to actually perform those activities of Krishna mercy. And actually, let me just read about what the real sadhana is. I'll just go right to the end because that summarizes the sadhana. Uh-huh. And I'll go to the end like this. So that ultimately, and I'm just going through this because you've been very patient, and there's a lot here. are sadhana. So, in order to attain the perfection of going back to God, and attaining Braja Bhakti, and this is in one sense still general, because we know that even in Braj and Goloka Vrindavan, there are different relationships with Krishna, but this is the sadhana that Narada Muni explains.
One develops that love by practicing the devotional service whose main ways are meditation on and singing about the many Vraj pastimes of the Lord. That service becomes brilliant by Sankirtan of the Lord's most beloved holy names.
So basically it's no surprise. It's not something that you haven't heard before. But it's something that we need to do. Well, is that what we do? Here it says meditation, in other words we're remembering something, smaranam. Singing, which also means that we're reading and studying, on Krishna's Braja pastimes. So you want to go to Braj, ultimately you have to hear about Braj. And Prabhupada gave us a Krishna book. And Prabhupada thought that he wasn't going to actually get to the 10th canto, and it's a good thing, because he just barely got to the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Then Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna book. It's an indication. Why? Because Prabhupada said, well, if I don't make that, I want you to have this, because this is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna in Vrindavan. So that we should be meditating, discussing, reading Krishna's Braja pastimes. And when one chants Nam Sankirtan, in connection with those pastimes, then actually meditation becomes enriched, it becomes real, and it starts to awaken natural attachment and attraction towards Krishna, which is essential in order to actually be able to attain Krishna's mercy, as a consequence of which one attains love for him. So I just jumped to this end, because here these things are nothing new, but it's the context of everything else for me was very significant, that we have to be very clear that our... and devotees may have a different destination, and devotees may have different goal. But ultimately, what we're doing has to correspond to where we're going. And at a certain point, devotees need to also connect and, with that destination. And of course, that's a maturing that takes place in devotees' lives. And that maturing is confirmed by association with sadhus, and especially their spiritual master. Am I ready for this? Is this the right time for me to start actually focusing my reading and my studies? Particularly in the Shuddha Bhakti Chintami, that was the main theme, is when is a devotee ready for what? What type of reading? Ultimately, everyone has to have qualification for what they're doing. But before all of that, we need to be clear about what the picture is. And that picture is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. It's not a secret, and it's there in the statements of the Acharyas and in the books of the Acharyas. But it requires a lot of unpacking. Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj used to say a lot that everything's there in Prabhupada's books, but you need to study it and you need to unpack what it is that Srila Prabhupada is actually saying. Shruti, I think that's enough, isn't it? We'll take a devotees have any comments or questions. We'll try to answer them. It's such a phenomenal book. I'm sort of addicted to reading it, and I'm reading it over and over again. First of all, it's the author is making his own commentary, which is quite unusual. Sanatana Goswami writes the commentary. He writes the text, and he writes the commentaries are not R or Gopi Pranadan's commentary. That it's all Sanatana Goswami, and every once in a while, just to clarify context, Gopi Pranadam Prabhu inserts something, but there's in one of the indexes, he includes everything that he's inserted. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Yes, doctor.
Hare Krishna, it was a wonderful eye-opening class. I must say that it was not scary, but it is frustrating for me. I feel my frustration. So when we come into Krishna consciousness, the devotees, Prabhupada has clearly outlined our prayojanam. So we know the goal where we are going to be heading towards. He has nicely given us the process, the abhidaya. And then as devotees, we try and find our sambandha and then start off and kick off in the process. We are all, by and large, practicing very similar ways, but we are all at different stages and different, still very, very different. And what frustrates me most is that why is the progress for me is almost non-existent, or it just seems that I'm not going anywhere. It just seems that the progress of the prayojan is so far away that it almost becomes depressing.
Well, my experience, and I'm sure everyone's experience, is that when you sit down and read Prabhupada's books, it's like enlightenment. And the more we do that, the more enlightened we become. But we have so many other things going on in our lives that we can't just spend all our time doing that. But somehow or another, if we can organize and structure our lives to be able to do that, because then we make progress. It's the absorption of Shastra is such a enlightening, elevating, purifying, educational, inspirational experience, healing experience. It's the solution for everything. You know, Sarvam Bhattacharya thought that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was suffering, you know, his dancing and chanting was a result of some kind of mental disorder. He told him, okay, listen, you just sit and listen to Vedanta Sutra and that'll solve your psychiatric problems. Gauri, it's a simple thing. You just need to tell everyone Vedanta Sutra. And so, you know, that was the solution. So, you know, whatever the argument aside, but Shastra is, it's Krishna. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. It's life. And when we're separated from our life source, it's just like when we're separated from chanting Hare Krishna, then things become very dry. And then we're back to the struggle.
But what about the lack of progress, Maharaj? It just seems so obvious.
You have to make adjustments, make arrangements. Ultimately, our business is to save ourselves. And I don't have any answer for this dynamic because I'm in it myself. Since morning up until now, I've been doing all kinds of things. I haven't been able to write today. I read a half a page of Jayadeva Dharma. I've still got rounds to chant. I'm the wrong person to give you the answer. give the answer.
No, just on that point you just made there, which I think is an extraordinary point. First of all, I wanted to say, Maharaj, even though you've been such a busy person over all the years, your personal example, even though for you it's not a lot perhaps, or filling your own self, has been outstanding.
Relatively,
well, yes. I mean, I spent years getting up at 1:30 in the morning because that's the time you wanted to get up to chat, to read, to do puja. But the point you're just making, that I was talking to Prabhupada Prana from Scotland, and I was saying, when we left home to join the Krishna consciousness movement, we were the number one thing in our list of priorities. It didn't matter what our families thought, it didn't matter what our social culture thought, it didn't matter what any, you know, or what jobs we had, or what college we were in, we were our top priority.
Our own top priority.
And now, you know, 35 years later, where are we on our own list of priorities?
Hmm. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. We're not, Prabhupada said, your top priority is to save yourself. If it's not happening, do something else. Do something that you feel. Dhyanatma supersedati, that will feel that satisfaction, that we're progressing. Of course, it's such a wonderful thing because those priorities we left behind were priorities of the material world. Now, at least if we're involved in the priorities of spreading Krishna consciousness, but still, and I give this example, we can't just be telling everyone how great Krishna consciousness is and yet not experiencing it. In other words, we're just advertising some product that we don't have time to taste. And the balance for that is very important. So Srila Prabhupada complained. He complained to the Sankatan devotees. Are you reading the books? No. Now they were giving him the results. What's the use? What's the use of selling them if you don't know what's in them? So, yeah, I also share that frustration. To a certain degree, I was able to say no, and but it's a difficult dynamic. It's a difficult dynamic, isn't it, Trudy?
Yes. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for the Brihad Bhagavatam. Everyone here is from the Mana leadership, from trustees to temple councils, festival committees to department heads, and they're all busy in managing the departments, their committees, and that takes up a lot of sweat, blood, and tears to keep it running. How do they themselves get inspiration? Is the question often that's asked, because they're busy trying to inspire others to do things, but they equally need some inspiration, and that was one of the ideas of this gathering, that whenever we come together we can hear. But that balance seems to be the between work and getting that work done to equally saving yourself, and for a lot of them it's really the service which they can relate to. To try and relate to anything deeper in the sadhana process is very far away, they often find.
But we're leaders, and a leader means we're showing people where we're going. We're not just organizing people in services, devotees in services, but ultimately we're apani achari koriya prachar. We're setting the example of Krishna consciousness, and we're not saying, go there, it's a great place. We say, follow me. And the devotees can see, because our end product, whether it's, a Krishna Valley, or it's a Haveli, or it's a TOVP, all of these things ultimately their value is in the number of pure devotees our society produces. Otherwise, we're bricks. There's so many temples and religious institutions all over the world. We've got there's so much going on in so many other businesses and so on, but where are the people of character, the people of perfection, the people of sadhus? Because that's what we're advertising, and ultimately, yadyada acharati shishtas, is the leaders are the ones who are leading, and the ideal thing that they're leading in, the primary thing they're leading in, is Krishna consciousness, is what it means to actually be a Vaishnav and a Vaishnavi. And then that we're getting other things done. There's so many things to get done. But the purpose of all those things to get done, ultimately, that has to be the goal. The goal of the Haveli, the goal of the TOVP, the goal of anything, of any project, the Goshala, the Ahimsa, and everything. Ultimately, the goal, like here, is pure devotees. And therefore, we need to see, sadhana. is our sadhana, or the activities, in a more general way, is the activities that we're doing in line with the goal that we want to make. Because maybe our goal is shifting over to bricks and mortar and shifting away from people. But our real goal is people, and bricks and mortar are certainly instrumental for that, and they're not just bricks and mortar, but projects and other things, and how long we're going to stay up at night, and you know, how do we get up at 1:30 in the morning? You know, I'll be happy if I get up at 4:30 or 5:30 in the morning tomorrow morning, depending on what time I go to sleep tonight. And it's not the same. So, of course, that's good thing. It only happens to me when I come to the UK. I have a more regulated life when I'm in Hungary. Much more regulated life. So there I can sort of do it. That's leadership. And so, yeah, keep it spiritual. And then make it spiritual. And increase its spirituality. Is ultimately the real call for me, the real call. And it's a dynamic that I've struggled with here in the UK, I struggle with in Hungary, to find devotees who are good leaders and managers and also good spiritual examples. I can get good sadhakas, but then they're not so capable in terms of management and leadership. Or I get very good managers, but then they're not there at the morning program, they struggle to be at the morning program, they're not necessarily the most inspirational class givers. In fact, I'd rather have someone else being giving the class. Finding a person to do both, it's real rarity, they're real gems. Shruti Dharma is like that. He's a real, real gem, both good leader and also a real spiritual example. Gauri was also, when he was president, he was like that. Yeah. Well, no, that's when you were president. I mean, you're still doing it, I assume.
Yes, of course.
And part of it is to do with what you're saying is that our nature is that we're passionate. And it's easier for us to work than to sit down and focus. But Prabhupada understood that engagement actually will qualify us. But we have to take advantage, recognize that qualification as it's coming. Because service, and especially offering that service to the Lord, increases our qualification to be able to just sit and read. I mean, I remember, you know, brahmachari sitting down and having difficulty staying awake. The next phase was staying awake and having difficulty remembering what I read. Now I can sit and read nonstop all day long, and I can study and note. But it takes time, and. And what contributes to that is the fact that, yes, we engage our active selves in service, and by the grace of the Lord, then our adhikar, our qualification, increases. Sir.
Thank you. Just on the point of reading, what should be our meditation? At least for myself, many times I read just so I can reproduce and, you know, present it to the audience. So, is that good enough? It does take a lot of analyzing and being able to, you know, present it in a way that...
It's great, but you should know more than just what you're presenting. In other words, I shouldn't just be a specialist in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita and I don't know anything else. But certainly for presentation, for writing, that type of, and preparing for that is really excellent way of studying. But we should know more. At least we should know these four books, Prabhupada said. Forget about everything else. But at least Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, those we should just dedicate our lives to. And from what I hear, who's the devotee who does scientific preaching? My God, brother.
Dhritakarma
Prabhu. The Dhritakarma Prabhu reads all of Prabhupada's books once a year. And he's read them, I don't know how many, however many years he's been in. Keshav Bharati Maharaj has this thing now, which is catching on, because I'm meeting devotees in Mayapur who are doing that on their own, reading the Bhagavatam every year. So getting through the Bhagavatam, 43 pages a day. You read 43 pages a day, it takes an hour, hour and a half, depends how fast you read, and you're through the Bhagavatam in a year. So hopefully also concentrating, but those type of things. And then you got wonderful things. My real fruitful study of the Bhagavad Gita was with Purujan Prabhu's overview and going along with that. But there are so many different ways of studying and in ISKCON. You have currently much deeper knowledge of Krishna consciousness than we had at your stage or your number of years. Well, first of all, we didn't have all the books. And then beyond that, there was no such thing as VIHE, or there was, that you had to do Bhakti Shastri for Brahman initiation, and even then Bhakti Shastri is, who's Krishna, who's Lord Chaitanya? Four questions, what were the others? What's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? And so it's pretty easy. I got 4 out of 4. So things are, you've got a really well developed background, you've got college, you've got so many other things. These things have really gone a long way, and that's a really great plus. But once again, it's not something that we just give to other people, and it's not just something to get an okay for initiation or something, but it's our life. And how do we build it into our life? Should we stop?
We can have
Kripamaya Prabhu Chan Hare Krishna.
I'm standing up.
Standing, sitting.
Standing.
Okay, standing.
The opportunity. Let's show appreciation, Mike. And when he comes back in May, we can have another gathering, and we can go from sadhana, perhaps a bit more, or we can go to sangha.